Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 99.9 KISW Metal Shop. We're hanging out here in the studio with a band of three accomplished musicians all coming together tonight at El Corazon. It's Tony McAlpine, guitarist. Honestly, he needs no introduction, but he's played with Steve Vai, Yngwie Malmsteen, Mike Portnoy, Rudy Sarzo, a ton of amazing things, also doing his own solo music. We got Pete Griffin in here, a bassist for Tony McAlpine, for Giraffe Tongue Orchestra, Death Clock, Steve Vai, Zach Wild, Zappa, a ton more, and Gergo Borlai. He's nice. The drummer, and he's behind the kit for tons of bands for 30-plus years. Welcome back to Seattle. It is it's nice and rainy for y'all today. Yeah. Welcome. Oh,
yeah. Sorry about Thank that, guys.
Good to be here.
Yeah.
It's good to have you in.
It's Gergo's first time here, so it should be raining.
First time in Seattle?
Yes.
Oh, well, you're getting the true experience tonight, man.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. So The Death of Roses is out now. It's available at TonyMcAlpine.com. Tell us a bit about the roots of the record.
Well, you know, it's a seven-song, EP. It's the first part of a two-part series, and Death of Roses, just came out, and it's been wonderfully mastered and rather mixed by Eder Doffenbach, who worked on my last one, Concrete Gardens.
Absolutely.
And, just had a brilliant time working with, Pete and Gurko on the record, and it's we're loving playing out here, just playing live.
That's great. Tony, we've talked about it over the last couple years of when you announced the serious illness you had going on and you've been dealing with that, but it seems like obviously you're on the up and up. And at what point did you feel comfortable getting back to writing again and playing live?
Well, I was always hearing stuff, but I just couldn't really physically do it. But this record we recorded over the last season. Basically put it together then and had the ideas, just milling about in there somewhere. Kind of just happens organically, if you know what I mean.
And by the way, it's great to see that you're doing well, man.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel much better.
Thanks for coming back. Now, you guys got here together with Mr. Pete Griffin on bass for your last record, Concrete Gardens. How did you guys get together? Have you known each other for a while? How did you decide to start playing together?
Yes and no. We had... Tony's manager is a very good friend of mine, and we had, I think the first time we met was at that Periphery and Animals as Leaders show.
Nice.
At the Glass House. It was such an amazing lineup. It was Periphery, Animals as Leaders, and Dillinger, I think, in a tiny place. This was maybe 10 years ago.
That's a pretty awesome tour.
Yeah, 8 or 9 years ago. And just kind of stayed in touch since then. I was playing with Zappa, played Zappa at the time. And then I left that about 6 years ago and needed some new work and started talking to Mike about it. And Tony was recording a new record. And he sent me a demo version of the song Exhibitionist Boulevard. And I had a lot of time on my hands. So I was like, wow, that's the craziest lick I've ever heard, the thing that starts that. Let me try to learn it and just record it and send it and see if Tony likes it. And then maybe he'd let me play bass on it. And apparently I did a good enough job.
You liked it.
Just barely good enough.
Yeah, you nailed it.
So.
Yeah.
That rules.
So, yeah, now I can't play it anymore, but at some point I could.
Now he never wants to play the song.
Yeah, totally.
That's crazy, man. Well, that's awesome. I'm glad you guys were able to, make that work. And we were talking about this new EP, Death of Roses. It's seems to be more of a DIY, self-release project. Do you guys find it easier to self-release now with, the vast reach of the internet as opposed to just waiting for labels to do it?
Oh, yeah. I felt like that for years. But, yeah, I saw it coming and knew what was going to happen. And, it's the kind of thing you got to embrace. Yeah, you're in creative control, at least of the things you want to do.
It's yours.
Yeah, and you own it, for perpetuity. So that's an important aspect of it.
Do you find that the internet makes it a little easier for you guys to connect? Across vast distances, sending songs back and forth, recording the bass tracks, sending it over.
Yeah, for both these records, I recorded them in my apartment, and was just talking to Tony or texting him and being hey, is this okay? And is this tone okay? And expecting him to have notes for it. And pretty much every time he's like, no, it's fine.
You're good.
Yeah. I was like, well, that's the first take. And if you want me to change stuff, no, it's perfect. Okay, next song.
Yeah, it's changed a lot. I was just rereading the book Choosing Death. Yeah. Book about death metal, about the tape trading in the 80s and early 90s and whatnot. It's a lot different now.
Oh, yeah. And it's harder almost because there's so much, it's harder to get noticed. You know, like, yeah. it's just so much stuff out there. And if you're the type of music fan who's constantly searching stuff out, it's almost harder to break through that. So promotion is still a big a deal as it ever was. It's just different. You need to know some internet wizards.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like an oversaturation.
Oh, absolutely.
Tons of bands.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to stand out somehow.
Yeah, especially on these metal tours that we've all done where there's, you know, five bands on the touring package and then four local bands show
yeah.
up and start at 5:30 in the afternoon. And
it's a mini fest.
Yeah, totally. And they all brought both kick drums and...
and an ego box to jump on stage
with. Yeah, yeah, totally.
The lights and everything.
Yep.
So we're going to play a song off of your new EP, the title track off of Death of Roses. Any words before we jump into this one here on Metal Shop tonight?
Gergo, what do you think about it? What do you think about Death of Roses?
I love it.
Amen.
Enough said.
Words.
Awesome. Well, we're in here with the Tony McAlpine Band and Tony, and we're going to play Death of Roses and be right back with them. It's Metal Shop here on The Rock.
We'll be right back.
It's Metal Shop here on The Rock, in here with Tony McAlpine, Pete Griffin, and Gergo Borlai?
Yes.
Correct. Awesome.
We're going to ask every time. Still got it. Still got it.
I ask every time.
It's awesome to have these guys in. They're playing down at El Corazon tonight. If you go down there right now, you can still catch them. They're playing with Felix Martin, one of Ryan's favorite bands, or gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Also with Guns of Barrisol.
Absolutely. So welcome back. And, you know, you guys have been playing music for so long, so influential as studio musicians, as with all of the ensembles you guys have played with. I'm really curious about, like, your foundational days. Were there any moments or incidences in your youth where you had that light bulb moment where you went, damn, I got to do this. This is what I want to do with my life. Was there a record, a day, a show, or something that made you know, I want to be a musician?
Well, I mean, I knew that, yeah, when I was five, when I started piano music, classical music, that's I knew that's what I wanted to do. And I grew up in a house of a lot of players. Everybody played something. Everybody played an instrument. My dad played piano. And,
that's
you
so
know,
cool.
My sister played a couple of instruments. So
family talent shows?
Well, my little sister and I used to put on some shows. Yes. I don't know how well attended they were. But yeah, I knew early on that was going to be what I wanted to do.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Either of you?
How about you,
gentlemen?
Oh, I started also very early. I was 3 years old.
Wow.
I remember of that moment when my dad, he was a sound engineer in the Hungarian National Radio Station, and when he brought an album of Dave Brubeck, where it was a tune called Take Five, which is, I think, the most famous odd-time jazz standard. And I've heard that song, and I just started to play it immediately after when I heard first that groove and a poor drum kit. And I just realized, okay, that's what I want to do in my whole life. I remember that moment. So
you were a drummer since age 3?
Yep.
I bet your parents were so stoked on that drum action. At that young age, man. That's so cool that they gave you that opportunity, too.
I think so, too. Yeah.
Pete?
I'm way later than these guys, apparently. I just started playing 6 months ago, and no.
You're a prodigy.
Yeah, I got my first bass when I was like 13. My parents got it for me. I'd already been playing trumpet. And I immediately started playing in jazz band and stuff like that, which was great. But it wasn't until the bass player that I idolized as a freshman in high school, he was a senior. He went away to college, and he actually wound up dying young at the age of like 19 and a half or so. And so that was, if you're talking about the moment of that was like, well, I was like, well, I can't do anything else. You know, like he wasn't given the opportunity, so obviously I have to go ahead and do this.
Wow.
And so I've stayed in close touch with his family, and I play his bass and from time to time. And
you still play on every once in a while?
Yeah, I still have it at home.
What was it?
It's a Fender P-Bass, but it's awesome. It has like the most mojo of anything. It's like a Japanese thing. It's all
so you ended up getting your hands on his bass?
Yeah. It took a few years later, but yeah, it was really cool. And I'm still really good friends with the band that he was in. I wound up joining that band, and they've watched me. They were all big Zappa fans, so to see me play with the Zappa band was really cool for them. And it's a tragic thing, and I still would have given it all up to hear what he'd be doing today.
Right.
Because I still watch videos of him at 18 and 19, and I'm like, how the hell did he do that? Like,
damn, he must have been.
Yeah, he was amazing. His name
on
was,
it.
Dan Bingley, yeah. So that in terms of the defining moment of making it sure that I couldn't possibly do anything else, much to my parents' dismay, ultimately. it turned out that was kind of the only thing I could do.
I mean, that says a lot about the power of putting an instrument in a young person's hands, right?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
So, I mean, you guys went from jazz, classical, neoclassical, and all that. What was, like, the first heavy song that hit you?
I don't know.
Crickets.
Yeah.
You made it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for Tony, it would be something he created, you know.
Pantera.
Yeah, for you.
All right.
For me, Pantera.
Awesome.
Do you remember what song?
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-
Just because they grew so hard.
I became a huge fan since then.
Yeah.
So awesome. Music, metal, and a lot of pretty much everything has changed a lot in the last 30 years. What would be a piece of advice you'd give to a young kid that is just starting their first band?
Or trying to get into music or metal in general.
Tony's pointing at me.
Somebody's trying to figure out how to play.
I do a lot of teaching, so maybe that's
why. Oh, wow,
why.
Really?
But yeah.
That's awesome.
Skype lessons and clinics and stuff like that. The main thing, and with, you know, I've been a professional musician almost 20 years now, and think about how much the music industry has changed in that time.
Yeah.
And how the money keeps moving. and all that. So my ability and anybody and any of us, really, the three of us even, our ability to stay adaptable and be able
be flexible,
to.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And not expect to be making money off album sales or and not expect to be playing the exact same type of music. Like in the last week, I've played crazy proto metal with Tony, and I did a country gig last week, and I played for a funk band the other day, and all that
awesome.
Stuff. And I couldn't be happier with it, honestly. Like people always ask, oh, what's your favorite type of music to play? And I'm like, pretty much whatever I'm not playing right now is what I'd rather be playing. So like I play Tony stuff, and I'm listening to electro pop in the van, and then I play pop gigs and wish I could shred. And, you know, so it's part of it is never being happy, which I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
And sometimes he forgets what gig he's in and he starts mixing up the shows.
Yeah, I wish that was a joke. but yeah, that's sort of the big deal is A, only do, the only reason to do it is if you truly, truly love it. You know, I laugh at people who think that they're going to get rich or famous or get chicks, which is even the funniest one of them all.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. Like you're not going to be that special anymore. So it has to be special to you. And if you can't see yourself doing anything else, then do it.
But wait a minute. I met my wife at.
Yeah.
See, Tony did it.
And I met my ex-wife at.
Yeah, she's still my wife.
Yeah. Two sides of the coin.
Yeah.
So when people go and see your band, a lot of them have been fans of you guys for a long time. Some of them might be brand new, maybe coming to see a local band. Is there something you want people to walk away with after seeing your band that they take home?
Besides merch.
That's it. Yeah, merch.
T-shirts. Yeah, buy some T-shirts. Put $10 in the gas tank. Yeah.
I think just really ultimately the satisfaction. You know, there's so much times that you spend just waiting for that, you know, the 90 minutes to play.
Exactly.
And it's like there's so much you put into it, you know, all the rehearsal and all the ugly stuff that people
say. And all the travel, yeah.
Yeah, and you just really want things to go well, and you want them to just be moved, walk away and feel like, wow, I want to hear this again, you know. I like these guys, I like the message. That's the most important thing.
We're so stoked to see you guys back and back on the road, back in Seattle. Go now to TonyMcAlpine.com. Go buy Death of Roses. We're going to play another song off of this one. This is called Axiomatic Jewels.
Mm.
Thanks again for coming in. Bang your damn head. This is Metal Shop here on The Rock.
We're back here on Metal Shop. You're listening to Tony McAlpine Band. They're playing at El Corazon tonight. It's Tony McAlpine. We got Pete Griffin and Gergo Borlai. And they're live here in studio. We've been playing them for a bit. And it's cool to have you guys up here. I'm kind of curious. I mean, you guys have played a ton of different projects. But what are, like, the most memorable experiences you've had while playing live? Whether it be, like, a crazy festival or just, like, just something. Like, is there, like, a couple moments that really are memorable as, like, a live performance of over the last, you know, several decades of playing?
I'm putting you on the spot.
I want to hear Gergo's answer to that.
Yeah.
Oh, I have many. But many years ago, 15 years ago, I was playing in my hometown in the capital in Budapest in Hungary. And
yeah,
we played with the biggest Hungarian singer, and there was 500,000 people.
Wow. 500,000?
Yeah. Yeah, and I had a 20-minute long drum solo because it was mainly the pop gig. And I have a 20-minute long drum solo. And, you know, I just got that feeling how I can direct the people during my drum solo. It was amazing, you know, how
wow.
I can affect them. So it was absolutely minutes. Unforgettable moment. Yeah, for
that's
me.
500,000 people looking at you only.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah.
That's badass.
I deserved
man.
It.
Yeah, damn right.
Absolutely, damn well.
Hey man, you worked hard.
That's some John Bonham stuff right there.
Hell yeah,
20-minute drum solo.
You got endurance, dude. That rules. Any you guys? Anything that sticks out? Something you'll remember?
I'd say falling off the stage at one of Steve Vai's concerts. And then running around in time after breaking. I mean, I fell really far. Broke the guitar neck in half right around the time as he changed the guitar and boom, ran back out there and did the solo.
Wow. What
continue
was the guitar?
Which guitar did you break?
It was one of the Carvins I had at that time.
Did you have a brief moment of heartbreak there? Mm-mm. Or you just said, nope, next?
I was just happy to, you know, that it was okay.
Yeah, there you go.
For me, just to be not corny, but one of the most recent ones, we got to play in Vegas about 5 days after the tragedy that just happened
right.
there.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And we didn't really know what to expect. We didn't think people were going to come out. Mm. We made it a free show just to be like, hey, we still have to go to live music, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was one of the more moving experiences I've mm-hmm. been through, just like the energy that the crowd had. And it wasn't really sad. That was the kind of coolest part. Like, everyone was, like, fiercely trying to enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, like,
very
like
uplifting.
It was the three of us really afterwards, we were all a little emotional, honestly. And nothing compared to, I'm sure, what those people went through. Like, I'm not
right.
even trying to compare. But just to be able to be a part of that was something I'll remember for the rest of my life.
Stand sure. back up, bring live music back.
Right.
Make people know that these things are still going to continue. Yeah. You're not going to stop us kind of thing.
And it still fixes everything, you know. Like, just going out and hearing it and playing it and stuff like that. Whatever you got going on, you can shed it for a second and kind of just live in that moment.
Music is medicine.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And magic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, there have been a lot of bands that have been playing old records from front to back. If there was a band that you could choose, or any band, any record in all of history, alive or not here anymore, what would be a record that you would love to see played front to back? Any genre? Any at all?
No, you start. Me. I have to think.
the one that comes up right away would be, although there's so many, Jesus, Genesis, Land Lies Down on Broadway.
Nice.
That would be pretty epic to see.
Yeah, Ryan and
start
I were
to finish.
Hanging out with some Genesis last week.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. We were going hard with the Genesis.
How about you?
I'd have to think.
And that's, me too.
It's going to take a while.
I'm the nerd who had an answer right away.
I mean, wish I could be there when Frank Zappa recorded Joe's Garage in the studio. And
just watch that happen.
Yeah, just watch. Yeah.
Yeah. There's footage of all that stuff somewhere.
Yeah.
Find it out there.
Yeah, talk to Joe.
Tony
stumped.
Yeah. We'll let you think on that one and come back to it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So all three of you have played in so many awesome projects and really big name stuff, but one of the most recent ones is a project that Pete is in with, and that's a Giraffe Tongue Orchestra with members of Mastodon, Mars Volta, Dillinger Escape Plan, and William Duvall. So can you give us an update on what's going on with that?
Well, I mean, any band like that, it's a scheduling nightmare.
Yeah, you know? I'd imagine.
Yeah. So as much as we might like to be doing shows all the time, Everyone has their own projects that pay better and are more reliable and all that stuff. You know, Mastodon lives on the road.
Right.
Alice in Chains is doing some stuff on and off. Dillinger is finishing their life as a band right now, which breaks my heart.
Yeah, but Ryan's flying out to New York to go see him play.
Yeah, I'm going to try to go to one of those too. I've been bugging Ben about it. But and then Thomas is flying all over the world doing drum clinics and stuff, and I'm obviously busy with other things like that too. I couldn't be prouder of that record, honestly. In terms of my career, I've played a lot of other people's bass lines, which I'm very happy to have done. That one, I really think, that one and as well as the Legend of the Siegelman record when that comes out. And Tony's last two records too. I'm not just saying that because he's here.
Of course.
I feel like I have my fingerprints on it a little bit more. So to have that be as well received as it was, and the three shows that we did went really, really well. And also just to now, I've been friends with all those guys except William. I had only met him a little more recently. For years, kind of on and off, and now me, Ben, Brent, and Thomas are like the closest of homies, where we're dying to work on something again as soon as we all get the time to.
Yeah.
You know, but it was just so easy once we were all in the room together where we'd be hanging out and then suddenly playing something in some bizarre time signature that nobody's counting. And then Brent's the kind of guy who picks up a guitar and a song falls out of it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even know what he's
doing.
That's
the riff.
Yeah, totally, literally. And then we just build something around that. And that's how a lot of that record, not a lot of it, but some of the songs came about. And then Ben had written a bunch of stuff previously. So
it's awesome. We're in studio right now with Tony McAlpine, Pete Griffin, and Mr. Gergo Borlai.
Exactly, woo-hoo. Yes, sir.
We're playing tonight at El Corazon. We're going to play a quick Giraffe Tongue Orchestra song, hit a break, and then come back with more from these guys. This is Metal Shop here on The Rock.
Yeah!
Okay, we're back in studio with Tony McAlpine Band. We have been for a bit, and it's been cool to have these guys up here. They got to get going to El Corazon in a little bit, but we need to pick their brain a bit more. I want to know, what are you guys listening to like right now? Is there anything that's like a constant, like on your music player or in the van when you're playing, when you're going to show to show?
If we hit play on your device, anything at all.
I don't have a device, but I really don't.
You listen to the stuff on your computer. And stuff.
I just listen to kind of stuff that I'm working on, stuff that I'm writing. I'm writing stuff for the next EP after Death of Roses. So yeah, I'm working on that, and pretty much, it's pretty boring.
Always on the next step, right?
Yeah.
It's not boring to us, man.
And you listen to classical a lot, too. Like,
yeah.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Or any recommendations? Like, what should we know about, man? We're looking up to you guys. These legends in studio right now.
What should we know about us?
Well, the stuff I would say is stuff you already know. Like the new Mastodon record is kind of amazing.
Yep.
And the new EP. The new Contortionist record is really good. I listen to a lot of other kind of stuff. There's this band called 100 Waters that I really like. That's like sort of more electronica. There's this Venezuelan singer named Juana Molina, which is some of the most mellowing, amazing music you've ever heard in your life. It's a lot of like cool microtonal layers of voices and stuff. That's
cool.
That's the one I keep being like, oh my God, you got to check this out. So that would be the one.
What is it, Juana Molina?
Juana
Molina?
Yeah, totally.
Say that fast 3 times.
Yeah. And then Garrigo listens to a lot of Katy Perry.
See, that's what I'm talking about. We need like, we
Rihanna.
Always say like.
And Rihanna.
The bigger the musical zone, the bigger the musical person, right?
I think
no,
so.
No guilty pleasures. The only guilty pleasure that exists is if some jerk makes you feel bad about liking something that you like, you know?
Right.
Right.
Honestly, during the tour, I wasn't listening to any kind of music because I was really concentrating for this music, for Tony's music.
Yeah.
So I was trying to keep my mind really, really clean, you know?
There's only so much hard drive space.
Yeah.
That's true, too.
So this is the one question that I really, really wanted to get in here, and this is for Tony.
Let's hope I can answer it.
Yeah.
Because it's like 2 strikes already.
I hope so. I've been waiting 17 years to ask you this question.
No pressure there.
When I was a kid, I got my mind absolutely blown apart by the Steve Vai Live at the Astoria DVD. And I got to know, how did you guys coordinate that section where you were playing each other's guitars and all the arms were crossed over? How did you practice that? How did you put
Steve,
that together?
Steve was relentless with that. I mean, we spent so much time doing that and not as much time like on the other songs. I'm like, well, can we work on the trade section? No, let's just get that. You got to hit that. You got to make sure you're hitting A. Billy, you got to make sure you reach over here. And, you know, and he would just, he's an intense fella. You know, he really wants to make sure that these things are right. And it, we pulled it off. You know, once we did it, it became like pretty much a machine. We could.
So he had all of you lined up for just hours working on
that. We do that in sound check all the time. That would be like, you know, yeah.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah,
we blame you guys for why Ryan plays a 9-string guitar now.
Wow.
Yeah, too many hours watching the Masters.
Wait, but the 9-string, is he serious or is he joking?
No, I'm serious.
But what, do you have a higher string than E?
One lower. I'm the only stringed instrument in my band, so I needed some.
Oh, so it's really like a bass?
Right, exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good job, Ryan.
It's okay.
Thanks, Tony.
You got it,
Ryan.
It's fine.
Validation.
So if you haven't heard it yet, go get the Death of Roses EP available at TonyMcAlpine.com. What's on the horizon for you guys for the rest of the... Obviously, the year is coming to an end. It's starting to get crappy weather. What's coming up for the next year for you guys?
Well,
obviously,
we're getting ready to, we're clear with everybody's schedule.
Right.
We're going to, do a European tour.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Get
out there and play and give me a chance to see my wife who lives in Spain. So,
really?
Yeah.
Do you spend a lot of time out there?
I sure do, yeah. Yeah.
What part of Spain?
She lives in San Sebastian, the most northern city there.
That is so awesome.
Yeah.
It's got to be such a good break and relaxation and love time.
Rains a lot there, though, you know. As I look out the window here and see this rain, I think of San Sebastian.
Yeah, being away from your family's hard. My girlfriend just came back from a year. I haven't seen her in a year.
Wow.
Wow, that's
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
It's tough, man, but it takes commitment.
It does, and a lot of Skype calls.
Yep.
A lot of technology makes it all
lots of texting.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
or any other upcoming projects that you can give us the secret about?
Well, there is that Legend of the Siegelman show on New Year's, which is going to be out of control.
And that's your new project with members of Tool?
Yeah, that's with Danny Carey on drums and Brent Hines on guitar.
You guys are doing a nice first gig, opening for Primus on New Year's.
But that's so cool because, like, the Primus fans, I think, are definitely going to dig it. We don't sound anything like Primus. But with Danny having done that short tour that he did filling in for Herb with Primus, they already know about him. So all the drum nerds will have giant boners.
Yeah, and, giant.
And we've kind of like worked the show to feature Danny to a certain extent, and as much as the guitar stuff. And there's like there's a stage show to it, and we all have characters and. It'll all be unfolding in the coming months, but they finally just announced the show and it's official. So I'm super excited for that.
Do you guys feel like the metal world's getting a little smaller, or like it's such a tight community where you guys have all these friends and all these relationships you've built over the last 30 years?
I can't seem to get out of bands with Brent at this point, where like every band I join, he's also in. But you're right about the word relationships. It's like once you find people that you like working with, like why mess with that?
Yeah.
Ultimately. So.
Yeah, I think so.
It's all about who you know in this world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So one of the last questions we always like to ask, show us if you can, if you don't have to get too naked, pick a scar on your body. Tell us the story about how you got it.
Oh, wow.
Or you can get naked. Whatever works.
Tony's got a bunch.
Yeah, I do.
So our favorite
he's,
answer.
He's the
I got a scar
rider.
In my psyche, man.
Yeah. On my soul.
Well, I mean, you know, I have just the recent scars, and I'm kind of happy that I have those, you know, because I'm still here. So, you know, I'm really thrilled about that. But yeah, from surgery, and every time I see it, it reminds me.
It's a reminder
of the thing I went through. Not to be a bummer, but
it's not a bummer because you're here.
Yeah. It's scars of victory.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you? What you got?
Actually, I don't know what is scar.
Like a cut or something. Oh, really? Like a, something... what I got there.
Oh, okay. I don't have really.
Really?
Yeah. Wow, drummer,
you never whacked your hand and got sort of bleeding?
No, not really.
Oh. I guess you're much more coordinated than I am. My one is when we played in New York a couple weeks ago, I walked into a wall and had a nice little scar on the top of my head. Yeah.
That's it. That's his story.
Yeah, impressive.
That's
really talk about story. Coordination. Yeah.
I wish that was not true, but
Did you sustain a concussion or anything?
No, it was fine. Just,
that's good.
Just I didn't really feel it much at the time, let's say.
Oh, like that. I see it.
Yeah, one of those.
Gotcha.
So. Well, we're going to play another song off of the Death of Roses EP, and we are going to play that and send you guys off to your show at El Corazon. Is there anything you want to say to the Seattle audience before we let you go?
We love you guys very much, and just really thanks a lot, guys, for having us here.
Thank you so much.
It's a real blast.
It's a pleasure. It's an honor.
Yes.
Cool.
Thank you.
So, gentlemen, we're going to play one more. Let's play Electric Illusionist. Go get that right now at Tony McAlpine. Go down to El Corazon right now if you're free or driving around in the city and see them play with Felix Martin. What are Ryan's homies?
Felix Martin and Guns of Barisol. Don't miss that band. They shred.
This has been Tony McAlpine. We call it Tony McAlpine Experience Band or just...
Just my name.
Awesome. Awesome.
We don't matter.
Gentlemen, thanks again. And we'll see you the next time you guys come into town.
All right.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You. Well, thanks for having
guys.
Us.
Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.